You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Hulk Hogan, we got it for you.
Welcome, one and all wrestling fans, to yet another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your show for wrestling news and commentary. My name is Aljon Go, lifelong wrestling fan, professional broadcaster, hanging out with the man with the glove of injustice, the wrestling heel, Dr. Deathmark himself, Mr. Stephen Anthony. Hello.
How you doing, man?
We're just rocking and rolling, man. I'm showing a little stubble today. It's been a rough week on the road, bouncing back and forth from airplane to airplane, but we are back once again to
you
give our like picks. What's that?
You look like Ravishing Rick Rude a little
do
bit.
Do I really? Do I look? I look like, shoot.
Maybe not.
I kind of look like Ming back in the day.
Wow.
You know, while he was trying to grow his, you know, his heelish stubble, his heel persona there.
That's the one wrestler that all the other wrestlers say they're scared of. That's the only one that they unanimously say is very dangerous.
It came up again on a podcast with Stone Cold and Vampiro a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You said he tried to eat someone's face.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. So we're going to talk this week not only about our picks for this week's pay-per-view / special event for WWE. It is Night of Champions. It's returned once again, and we will be giving our picks and going over some of the different various matches, etc., etc. We'll also talk about WWE Raw, some WWE Network programming, Impact Wrestling results, and the end of their Global Force Wrestling invasion angle. Mm-hmm. We'll also have our promo of the week, which will be a highlight from the pits of avarice from the man himself, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts, once again making podcast gold with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Steve Austin Show podcast, which is great. So without any further ado, let's first knock out some housekeeping, if you will. You know, our show is free every single week on YouTube. You can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, and Intune there, and the whole archive of shows. If you want to listen to our pro wrestling analysis, not just analysis, but our thoughts on current angles and old school angles, superstars and alike, there at prowrestlingcast.com. Just bookmark that page because it's going to come in handy. You're going to want to help us out our show because we do the show for you for free all the time for you and for your enjoyment. You can click those links to the WWE Network and WWE Shop right now at prowrestlingcast.com. In fact, I'm going to go there right now. So you can click that link here. Look, there it is, prowrestlingcast.com. And from there, you can click our link to Amazon. So if you want to purchase the brand new WWE video game, WWE 2016 with Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin, relive the Attitude Era with over 100 wrestlers in its roster. Amazing. This video game is going to be amazing. And you're going to want to pick it up for your next gen console there. Just click on our link to Amazon with video games with deals daily. And that way you can help out our show. Also, in the mix would be WWE Shop. And there you've got a coupon. Click on it for $5 off of orders of $35 and up with the code WWE SAVE 5. But you have to click on our link to take advantage of that offer. Do it right now at ProWrestlingCast.com. And the more you spend, the more you'll save at WWE Shop. And of course, you're being extended a free offer for the WWE Network for this month, where you can catch Night of Champions and the rest of the cool WWE programming, like Table for Three. You could check out the roundtable discussion that the New Day had, or you can check out WWE First Look at the Monday Night Wars Volume 2 with Eric Bischoff, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Which one is more full of crap? Eric Bischoff, Vince Russo, or... oh, I don't know. Who else from that era can we talk about? Oh, Paul Heyman.
I'll go with Russo.
Okay, Russo is a man that's full of hot air. Okay.
Seems like it.
This is a live and uncensored show, by the way, so we might let a few things slide on this show. But anyway, you can support us by clicking on our link to WWE Network. And last but not least, don't forget High Spots. You love shoot videos like Stephen and I do. We review shoot videos on regular basis. And in fact, it's probably high time we do one again.
Yeah.
But you can pick those up at High Spots, and you can click our link to highspots.com. From there, you'll support our website and you'll have access to hundreds, if not thousands, of videos, whether it be independent wrestling promotions like the Hardy Boys Omega promotion. You can check that out. Chikara Pro. You can check out old school shoot videos and shows about your favorite wrestling divas as well. So please support all of that. WWE Network, Amazon, and High Spots by visiting ProWrestlingCast.com.
This week in wrestling news.
It's time for our news of the week. Wrestling headline news. Mr. Stephen Anthony, it's been a very busy week for wrestling, but I think it's worth mentioning that now with the football season beginning, that wrestling viewers are split. The ratings are an all-time low for the product right now. Wouldn't you agree?
It's the lowest they've been since the NWO angle was kind of messing them up ratings-wise. So, you know, it's always said lowest in 18 years because that low point was back in 1997 when their show still wasn't really hadn't made the full transition, and the NWO angle was hot on WCW. So to compare it and say something is lower is hard to even do. The fact of the matter is the show has dropped about 8% in a year. I'm surprised he being Vince McMahon, maybe he being Triple H or Stephanie too. I wouldn't be surprised if they're completely alarmed at the number. I think it was a 2.4 and then was it a 2.5? You know, really, they got a serious problem because they cannot cut the third hour. They need the third hour for the extra TV money to keep the network going, not to mention the fact that they've signed contracts and it's in place. Now you're talking about adding SmackDown. That's two more hours on the same network, USA. You got 5 hours to fill. SmackDown has become almost like a distorted cousin of Raw. It's like, let's say the main event of Raw is Seth Rollins against Roman Reigns. Then SmackDown will be Seth Rollins and Kane versus Roman Reigns and someone that Kane's feuding with. Like, it's just a mirror image, but a very bland and boring version. And I think people have gotten used to the idea that SmackDown should be totally disregarded because nothing important will ever happen on SmackDown.
That's right.
Daniel Bryan will not re-debut on SmackDown. That won't happen.
I think part of the reason is they have made the show not matter. You know, you haven't been able to make it matter by highlighting some mid-carders. For heaven's sake, you know, put some mid-carder angles that actually have an impact on your programming. But if it doesn't matter, it's going to go by way of WWE superstars, to be quite honest. You know, what's really sad is that things matter on NXT more than it does on SmackDown.
I think NXT should be a two-hour-long show on USA instead of SmackDown. That would probably help everybody out. Now, you might want to put Kevin Owens back on the show and a couple other people. but you know,
yeah, I don't know.
NXT is a weird albatross. You know, it's so awesome. Everyone they've brought up, except for Seth Rollins, has had kind of a weird transition, and except for the Shield, I should say. And then NXT fans love that show more than Raw, yet it's a training ground for Raw. Yet when they get on Raw, the Divas are a good example. Like nothing, they don't know how to use them right. It's almost like they should stay separate.
Well, the reason is that there is a laser focus on who they're trying to attract on NXT. The network itself, if you subscribe to a service, you are making the commitment that you love the brand, you love the programming, you are hardcore. I am hardcore Marvel because I subscribe to Marvel Unlimited and I can read every goddamn comic I want. Right? Okay. Okay. My wife is a hardcore Disney fan. She's a hardcore Disney D23 fan. So we pay the yearly fee. We get all the Disney stuff and she's hardcore. Right. And for wrestling fans, every wrestling fan who's hardcore wrestling fan should subscribe to WWE Network. Because of the archives, because of the programming, because of NXT, that's really who they're getting. Casual fans do not necessarily invest in that, okay? There are more people that watch the product on a weekly basis than subscribe to the network, which means that there are more casual fans out there. So yeah. The casual fans, you know, as it translates, you know, there is that disconnect. There is a disconnect because you can't please everybody. Casual fans go for things that hardcore wrestling fans don't necessarily go for, and vice versa.
Yeah.
There is a way you can try your best to see, to bridge that gap. There are things that have worked, you know, but that's the hardest thing to come across is when you have multiple sponsors and family sponsors versus people that are adults that are hardcore wrestling fans that invest money in the network that watch. And according to the demographics, you know, WWE Network programming itself is far more diverse because,
yeah,
you know, you have more adults watching, you know, where more families watch, let's say at WWE Raw. You know,
well, yeah.
So, I mean, and of course, your ratings also don't necessarily take in consideration DVR recordings either. So, live ratings is where they make their money. That is, you know, that is what's going to affect WWE's bottom line for sure.
Yeah.
But DVR, it still doesn't take in consideration the millions of people that still DVR the product that are watching. But yeah, of course, they're fast forwarding through all the ads if they DVR it. You know?
And people, in fact, need to realize that they are paying for a TV show to get advertisers. So, the rating is the rating. The ads are the ads. So our rating is really just a way to gauge how many people are watching, and the advertisers are how the TV station gets paid. So if you have high ratings but no advertisers, mm-hmm, and wrestling's hard to get advertisers, okay, obviously. Yeah. So you got 3 hours, and there you go. And then you got SmackDown, this, you know, redheaded stepchild of a show. Well, no, I guess that would be Superstars or something. But, you know, I like SmackDown more when they had the B team thing going on. I mean, I used to always want them to combine it into one show, like, oh, that was the days. Well, not bearing in mind that that's when Steve Austin was on top and The Rock, Chris Jericho, and all these people were on every week. Mm-hmm. You know, to have, I mean, I can remember it being just like, you know, Matt Hardy, Edge on his way up, Kurt Angle was solid, Rey Mysterio, what's that guy's name? He was from Canada. I think he got into some legal trouble.
Yeah.
And some other people.
Voldemort, he who must not be named.
The murderer.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Here's a dark cast week two. No, we're not going to go into that. That last week was dark, man. That was a dark little show. Oh, by the way, let me mention this before I forget. Uh-huh. Last week, I said Becky Lynch. Instead, I meant Claire Lynch. You remember Claire Lynch from TNA, right, who faked her pregnancy with AJ Styles?
Right.
That's who I meant. And my big apologies going out to Becky Lynch because I love Becky Lynch, okay?
Yeah.
The level of crappiness was my reference to Claire Lynch and the bad TNA angle.
Uh-oh. You're going to get jumped in the alley for that.
Christ. I am so going to get jumped for that. But
yeah, I mean, the things people got to understand, things like that happen. You're talking for over an hour and you're going, blah, 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 blah. And remember Sting in 88? Well, oh, I meant 98. But you just keep talking. So those things happen. Yes, the Claire Lynch angle, you know, that was the beginning of the real decline. It was like, are you kidding me? Look what New Japan does with AJ Styles. and look what they did with AJ Styles.
I love New Japan. Okay, but the ratings are telltale, and it is difficult. The bigger picture is that in this day and age, when people consume content on demand, to have a show that is live all the way live and appointment broadcasting, which is very, very difficult to do, especially in a sport, quote unquote, or show that is more drama driven than, you know, and predetermined, like the sport of professional wrestling, you know, it's, you know, because, you know, it's just going to be a very difficult thing to get advertisers for. So yes, I can understand them being on DEF CON 5 for that, and for them to be like all hands on deck. How can you split a roster and have meaningful storylines on both SmackDown and Raw when every ratings point matters? So they have to load up the show. They feel like they have to load up the show with superstars. They have to load them up with those segments with those stars, or they're going to lose ratings. That's why there's no enhancement to the job guys. There's because they feel that no one's going to watch a squash match between, you know, they're going to put like, you know, some enhancement talent in there, some good mechanic versus Seth Rollins, because, yeah, people will tune in to watch Seth Rollins, but they want to have a really, you know, big match. And I don't know. Well, you see what I'm saying?
I do. I think their formula is kind of just bores people.
They put themselves in the position, Steven, because once again, remember what we were talking about with Eric Bischoff and how when the network got greedy, they decided to add Thunder. So they had to produce Thunder and Nitro.
Yep. And 3 hours and two, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that was the death knell for WCW, to be quite honest. They stretched themselves too thin. One of the death knells for them. But it was just they were stretched too thin. And then now here we are with a network that people subscribe for. They have tons of wrestling and tons of ways to consume it. Hulu, network, on demand, everything, YouTube. And now they're having to sell a live wrestling show where nothing matters. Hey, if nothing matters from week to week and I just tune into the pay-per-views, I can get caught up with everything, right?
Or just read on Dave Meltzer's page.
Right. Or read it on the WWE Network, for Christ's sake. You've got the network, you know, thing. You can watch the recaps and the little videos, vignettes that they clip out.
Because don't you think there's a lot of people that don't watch Raw and they just read the recap? I think that's an issue, too. I think that's happening.
Well, you have the app. You can go to you can go to the internet and literally watch a show in clips. It pisses me off because there's ads over every single 5 minute clip they put on the internet, but I can get the gist of it.
right.
You know, or I can watch on Hulu if I unplug and I can watch the condensed version of Raw and I don't miss anything.
Well, that is, by the way, that is the way to watch Raw.
Yeah.
That is the way to watch it. I mean, you get 90 minutes. It's kind of action packed. I dig the Hulu one.
Yeah, you like that, right? You like that.
But if something's happening, like The Undertaker's coming back to fight Lesnar for the first time in months, you need to watch that live. You can't skip that.
Well, this past week was also an interesting thing. It was the season premiere, the season premiere of Raw, which never takes a night off. So you have the season premiere of Raw, but yet they have this big announcement at the very beginning. And they didn't even hype it last week that actually Sting was going to wrestle on the damn show.
Right.
Last week. Why? Why are you not going to promote the fact next week on WWE Raw, right here in this very ring, will be the man himself, the vigilante Sting, in his very first televised match in a WWE ring?
Because they write the show around Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
That's why. Well,
it's dumb.
I know they're dumb.
If you're worried about your ratings, why don't you promote the following week's program and at least have the main event ready?
Because
so that you can pop a rating even bigger.
Because they write the same way some people pay their bills late and get caught up. Somebody's like, my bill's due the 5th. I paid on the 15th. oh, now it's the 16th. They'll never get caught up on their bills, right? It's the same thing with the writing. They do it the last second. They're exhausted. It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday taping. Okay, Wednesday's days after the second taping. Oh, shit, what do we do next week? Okay, let's get some ideas. Let's start editing. So they're just not – they're caught in a cycle where they can't get – not to mention Vince sleeps all day Wednesday. This is a newer thing for him. That the doctors basically told him, if you want to keep doing this wacky ass schedule, you know, because several wrestlers and different people and have associates that work for him said that he stays up for 2 or 3 days at a time still. And the doctors make him sleep Wednesday. So I think that pushes it back to Thursday, Friday to even get started with writing. Mm. You know, they're exhausted, they're overworked, and some of them are underqualified. It used to be Pat Patterson, Vince McMahon sitting there like, all right, what do we do? You know, but again, you can't compare that because this show's long and complicated, and there's several people to worry about, and you can't put squash matches on. It's a different time. It's hard. I'm going to stop comparing to the old days because it's just not what it used to be. You know,
yeah, you're going to have to because it's a different era completely.
You know, the Four Horsemen aren't coming back. Dr. Death's not going to be the UWF champion. You know, things aren't what they were, right, even though that's awesome.
Yeah, there's just so much going on in terms of wrestling. Let's, before we move into Raw and NXT, what other news can we talk about? Because I'll go ahead. You know, the ratings is one. And speaking of ratings, let's also talk about TNA.
Hey, there's no big news other than, oh, wait.
Before you talk about what you're going to talk about, I'll just say that last week's show did broadcast Lethal Lockdown, Team TNA versus Team Global Force. You had there a pretty decent match all the way around. You know, you had Davey Richards, Sanjay Dutt, Eric Young, you know, in there, which was really cool. Brian Myers and Lashley, Chris Mordetsky, the Masterpiece, you know, was in there. Eddie Edwards was there.
Mordetsky's awesome, by the way. It's sad he didn't get a second chance with
WWE. I know, me too. I like Masterpiece. Chris Masters was great.
Yeah, he got so much better than he was in 2005.
That's right. And Jeff Jarrett. And at the end of the day, Team TNA celebrates, of course. There's a really cool spot where the Wolves put a trash can on top of Jeff Jarrett and did like a double Van Damminator on him, you know, right, which was really neat. And then there you go. Galloway drills Myers with a big boot before dropping him with a Future Shock DDT into a trash can, and Galloway secures a victory for Team TNA, and they celebrate with Dixie Carter in ring.
Of course.
There were still some very interesting moments with EC3 and Jeff Hardy as his manservant, which was very interesting. You know, I like, okay, I'll say this, I like EC3 a lot. I do.
Okay.
I like his work. I think he cuts great promos for a young kid. That is a lot of pressure for someone,
yeah,
of him and the experience to go in and week out with the confidence and the assuredness that he has. So I tip my hat off to EC3. I think he's a great talent, and no matter what the cards have in store for him, I hope that he can continue to work, because he's a very talented young man, I think. And I think he's definitely one to watch for the future. He's got a great look. He can work the microphone, and I really respect the kid.
Well, the good thing about going down all the way is that you can then start again. And, you know, he's a part of that. And what could really happen, and, you know, we're about to talk about how Dixie announced they lost their Destination America deal, and she says we'll only be there until February. It might, you know, who knows? It might be sooner. Who really knows? But, you know, in Europe, they have a following. I understand they just lost their TV in Germany and Austria, too. And their TV ratings are down in Europe, which is weird. Actually, it's not weird. There's no more Hulk Hogan and, you know, all these guys. And Kurt Angle's gone, too. But, you know, when everything is cut to the ground from the fires, from the ashes burns embers into a fire and all of that. And, you know, EC3.
Smoldering.
Yeah, right. Smoldering, blah, 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 fires. And, you know, EC3 is a part of that, and so is Drew Galloway. So, you know, if they can make a nice, tidy new show and not have all these kind of confusing things happening, which they've honestly cut down on a lot.
they've had to because they don't have the roster.
Yeah, right.
And then, it's out of necessity, right, probably.
That's what I mean. And then, you know, the manservant Jeff Hardy thing, you know, they don't know what to. Did I say Jeff Harvey?
Okay, Mike Adamly.
See, that's what I mean. You say it, but you keep talking because you want to talk so fast on the podcast. Nobody understands that. Jeff Harvey, who wrestles with the Harvey Boys, which is him and his brother Jacob, and they're WCW Tag Team Champions.
Right.
No, I mean, he's a manservant, Jeff Hardy, because he had that stupid motorcycle accident and broke his fibula or whatever, and they have to put him on the show, so they have to probably do something with him. So that's the sort of adversity they face. You know, I don't know why they didn't just get Heyman to run it, but you know what? I wouldn't want to deal with Heyman either. I'd probably be scared of the guy to run me into the ground.
Well, but at least Paul Heyman, you know, may have made some moves. They wouldn't maybe be in the situation they're in now. But
you mean like sign Bryan Danielson and make him the champion?
Yeah, perhaps.
Perhaps.
You know, well, they tried doing that with Austin Aries, but
that ain't the same thing. No offense to Austin. You're not the same thing. You know, nothing was as awesome as the American Dragon Bryan Danielson in the indies, you know.
I agree. That's how I relive my Bryan Danielson days, and I teach my wife about that every time I throw on a little clip and say, hey, by the way, check out Daniel Bryan, you know, because she watched Total Divas, like I said, and I watch with her, and we have a good time watching Total Divas. But she's like, how about Daniel Bryan? I was like, oh, well, here's a Bryan Danielson versus Roderick Strong match here. Let's watch that.
Yeah, I think it was with Davey Richards. He did like a 70-minute match, I think it was, maybe. I'm trying to remember, but he's done so many great matches. And, you know, I'm wondering, we're getting off track as usual, but
that's all right. Tangent show.
To me, really quickly about Daniel Bryan, Bryan Daniel, Jeff Harvey. The thing about Daniel, I don't know if Daniel Bryan should come back.
Well, let's talk about that. Can we table that? I hope we can circle back to that.
Oh, I'm that's called forecasting.
Foreshadowing?
No, forecasting. I'm forecasting that'll happen later.
Well, that could happen.
Foreshadowing will be like, I wonder if we'll talk about someone who, you know, it's a little different.
Well, that could happen this Sunday. You never know. Last thing regarding TNA. Four-way knockouts championship match, Lita Tapa versus Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong versus Brooke. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. They never let me down. The girls never did. I talked to my wife about this. She was watching TNA with me this week, and I said, Awesome Kong is literally, there's a reason why they call her Awesome, because she's awesome. She is the best. I love Awesome Kong. I like Gail Kim. Brooke has come such a long way. Love her too. I'm not too familiar with Lady Tapa. You know, I know she's part of that Samoan dynasty, all that. But I will tell you this right now. You can never get let down with Awesome Kong, Gail Kim, Brooke.
Nope.
I mean,
for years going now, too. For years going, they've been awesome.
Yeah. It's just always great work. And Gail Kim pulls out the victory. Brooke loses her title to Gail Kim in that four-way match, which was great. Good action there. And bell-to-bell action, you know, there's been some good stuff. People down TNA. The angles and the acting is bad. Okay. Sure. It that's it. But when left to their own devices, okay, the wrestlers can deliver good promo. Drew Galloway can talk. EC3 can talk. You know, they can deliver. And I believe that the talent is great. They can wrestle. And, you know, so it is what it is. It's a bittersweet thing for me, because I want this local, and you do too, because you know Dixie.
Yeah.
Personally, I would volunteer I wouldn't volunteer my services. I would like to work for a wrestling company just to have that, you know, just to have that experience of working for a wrestling company that's on TV, provide voiceover work, do, you know, commentary, do an internet show, because I love to do that kind of stuff. But I really wish Dixie all the best. And no matter what happens, I wish the talent the best, because I wish the talent and the staff the best. They deserve better, you know.
They do.
They deserve better, you know. And it's just a sad situation. You know?
I bet if you were willing to take a substantial pay cut, you could probably get in with them.
And probably, yeah, sure. But of course,
you know, I don't think they have any money.
I need insurance. I don't know. So do you. We need insurance. If you hear that, Dixie, we love your brand, you know? And I tell you what, if you see her, tell her we'll promote the brand. We'll have the superstars on our show. I've got no problem with it. I think the TNA programming and YouTube channel is awesome because they provide really cool programming, whether it's, you know, their knockouts workouts or, you know, anything that, you know, their talent does off camera. Their YouTube channel is awesome. They have some great content on their channel and it's all free.
They do a good job with their social media. They always have. It's sometimes they try to portray things in a different light on their Twitters and things that kind of annoy me, you know, but this company was so, I always say the same thing. Company was so great. Now it's not. So let's just, you know, we've badmouthed them like everybody else. And now they've hit rock bottom. You know, their TV deal's up and they actually admit it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And even Kurt Angle left the Dangerous-ish, allegedly. Kurt Angle has even left TNA. So, yeah. And maybe Jeff Harvey and his brother Pete Harvey will leave too. I don't know.
Well, I'll also say this.
We need to support them now, I think.
Yeah. Well, the 2016 Knockouts calendar is on sale. That's good.
What Knockouts are in it? Is a bunch of hotties in the Knockouts
calendar? Of course. You have Brooke, who's one of my favorites, Taryn. You've got Velvet in there, Gail Kim. So you have all your regulars who's in there, which is awesome.
You know? I'll tell you another TNA connection I have.
Okay.
James's manager moved into the place I used to live in Germantown. Remember that place?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Party at? Yeah.
Well, I like Mickey James. I'd love to have Mickey James on the show.
Yeah. Well, did she do another album yet? Because she was all into the album thing back then. That was five or 6 years ago.
Well, I'll tell you what else they have on sale right now. They've got a Jeff Jarrett laser engraved guitar they're selling on their website. What? Yeah.
How much is it? Laser?
I don't know. I'll tell you.
You know about guitar a little bit.
ShopTNA.com, you know? I mean, it's... I mean, it's interesting.
Laser engraved.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Jeff Jarrett guitar. I think it's, you know, it's cool, you know?
We never talked about Jeff Hardy's music either, I noticed.
Well, he's trying. I respect him. He's trying, you know.
Yeah, he likes you know, at least
in Billy Corgan or
Toy Division or something, you know.
It's for me, it's very much like a spoken word over droning, you know, mysterious landscape guitar. Oh, by the way, Jeff Jarrett laser engraved guitar, shoptna.com for $299.
$299.
Yeah, but that is the MSRP, but the sales price is $60, so you save $80.
Wow.
So you can get a Jeff Jarrett laser engraved guitar for not a whole lot of money. There you go.
That seems low.
It is low.
Seems a little low. Okay. It's impressive.
That's okay. So get them now while you can. Allow 3 to 4 weeks delivery on that Jeff Jarrett guitar.
Yeah, because I've seen Jeff Jarrett running wild and free with the Main Street Mafia, the real one. So
yeah, so have I.
I know all about you, Jeff.
Yeah, the Music City Mafia.
I'm saying, yeah, the Main Street. What's the Main Street
Mafia? That's a Main Street Posse is what you're referring to.
No, that's who I hang out with.
Pete Gass and Shane McMahon and
Shane O'Max.
Joey Abs.
There was another one. Rodney.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
We remember all four.
You see, between us, like, this I'm is like, how much of we're big wrestling marks, folks. Not just WWE, but just wrestling in general. You see, we're just chock full of info.
Those guys had some of the highest rated segments ever. I mean, they're on the show to have it, but I mean, they're involved in some pretty big
higher than they are now. I'll tell you what, when you're popping a rating for the Mean Street Posse.
When the Mean Street Posse got beat up by Patterson and Briscoe, which I completely fucking marked out for, they had like a 7. Do you understand that? I know, people, man. From a 2 to a 7?
Isn't that crazy?
It's 3 times as many people.
It's crazy.
3 times as many people watch Pat Patterson give a butterfly suplex to Rodney from the Mean Street Posse than watch Seth Rollins in a tag match against Sting.
By the way, before I forget, just on a personal note, you and I need to just see Raw together.
Right, because we haven't seen anything since that SmackDown ECW show?
That was a long time ago. You and I need to see a wrestling show. They have NXT coming to town and Raw coming to town in the next few weeks here in Nashville. So
I'll tell you how long ago it was. It was so long ago, Jack Swagger came out and I said, who's this guy? I haven't seen him yet. And you said, oh, he's really good. I think he's gonna be pretty good. Like, oh, I never heard of him.
Did I say that?
You had seen him, and I hadn't. And he came out, and he fought, you know, he fought like a Jay Brown kind of match. And, you know, the Finley was there. And it was
talk about a missed opportunity with Mr. Jack Swagger. Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
That's very sad.
That started the trend of we're confused and put belts on people and then give up on it later thing.
Yeah.
The ultimate
Let's talk about what other wrestling news before we go into the Raw and NXT, and then finally our picks for the WWE Network special. What are we?
I don't know, but I'm not talking about Hulk Hogan anymore. I've had enough of
it. Oh, we're done with that. Yes, we're done with
it. Part of Hulk Hogan beyond.
Any other headlines you want to mention before we move forward?
No, haven't. Lucha Underground, still no word. So that's making me sad too.
Let's talk really quick about these podcasts.
You
and I need to sit down and actually talk about some of the best wrestling podcasts you can subscribe to other than our own. Okay,
gosh,
because right now this is what I have subscribed on my iPod. Okay, yeah. I listen to these regularly. First of all, congratulations to Taz and the Taz Show. I listen to Human Podcast Machine, and I really, really dig what Taz does. Amazing stuff. If you haven't checked out Human Podcast Machine or the Taz Show, please do. Because he's very insightful, and he really breaks it down, and I really appreciate it. There's something about Taz as a personality that I really, really dig. The other ones I dig, obviously, Chris Jericho. Because you and I are both musicians, I really appreciated his interview with Paul Stanley of Kiss. I'm a huge Kiss fan. But he also has great interviews with wrestling talent. His interview over the past week with Sasha Banks was great. He had such a great rapport with Sasha. And I feel more invested in her character after listening to her podcast because she really tells us how dedicated she is to her craft and how much she's wanted to be a superstar since she was a child. And now her dreams are coming true. So I think that's cool.
And you must bring up the Bruce Dickinson had one very recently with Jericho.
Yes.
For all you Maiden fans out there. And that was, you know, I'm an old school Maiden fan. So that's like, that's what's cool about his podcast. Yeah. And then he did Jado and Gedo in very broken Japanese, the bookers of New Japan. So he's awesome. And Kerry King from Slayer was on the other day. He does a lot of cool stuff.
And Megadeth, you had. So that was good. Good stuff. By the way, Megadeth spelled D-E-T-H.
You know, I've only known that since 1987.
Tell that to the seamstresses over there, WWE Ziggler. 1 week it's spelled death with an A, and the following week it's spelled death with a D-E-T-H, the way it should be. So,
well, let me give, go ahead. But I was going to give you my top three.
Okay.
I think it's the same as you, I bet.
Okay, go ahead.
I always like Steve Austin Unleashed.
Always. Sean Waltman interview was great this past week, by the way.
Who's that? Wade Keller?
Sean Waltman.
Yeah. And then...
And Vampiro.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Vampiro.
I was in the airport listening to that, and I just chuckled out loud several times. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, when a podcast is so good, and Steve Austin is so good at just being him, and they literally had 2 hours of podcast gold. Once again, Steve Austin, a natural at this.
I think Vampiro, he's something else. He's a strange cat, and he's really excitable.
But I like him. There's something.
Oh, I like him a lot.
When he talks, when he opens his mouth,
says
it's
shit.
It's it's free flowing. It's real. But I felt that way about him in WCW. He just never was given an opportunity to be his full potential.
The only person to give him an opportunity was Russo. And, you know, of all the Russo bullshit, Vampiro they gave a good shot to. The best part of the Vampiro shooting, of course, I'm going old school, is he was in the locker room in Florida. I don't think we've ever talked about it when Lex Luger was supposed to have a cage match in Lakeland, Florida in 1985 or 6 with Bruiser Brody.
Yes.
And now we've all seen the clips of Lex Luger literally running away from him. It's pretty funny. If you haven't seen it on YouTube.
That should be our match of the week.
that's a great idea for match of the week. Bill Alfonso. He says... There's one point where, Bruiser Brody keeps getting hit about 5 minutes into it, and he just looks at him. And then Luger keeps hitting him, and Bruiser Brody just looks at him. And you can literally see Luger say to referee Bill Alfonso, "What's he doing?" And Bill Alfonso says, "I don't know." And he says something else, and then he just leaves. He's like, I'm getting out of here. But here's what Vampiro says. He said that Brody, you know, a lot of people, I know Flair does it, tape the blade to their fingertips. Mm-hmm. So Luger said, "We're going to do this, we're going to do that," supposedly backstage. A lot of people say that. So Brody, he says, taped 10 razors to his two hands. Now, can you name anyone else that would do that? I'll give you a hint. It's a movie actor. The only other person that has done that is Freddy Krueger. He's literally looking at someone who like Freddy Krueger, but much bigger and more athletic.
And very, I think I'm more scared of Bruiser Brody than Freddy Krueger, yeah, to be honest.
So Lex Luger's like, "If you don't know what he's doing, then I'm going to leave." And he literally went in his car from the and just left Lakeland, Florida, while the match was in the ring.
Yeah, he's going to twist him up real good.
Twist him up?
Cut him up.
I hope that's what happened.
Cut him up real good. Crazy.
Could have been a Mr. Pogo situation. Kids, don't Google
that. Don't look at
it. Don't go there. You don't want to do what I did. Well, and then my number one is easy.
Oh, Woo Nation, of course.
Woo Nation, yeah.
Woo Nation, Rick Flair.
They can't stop drinking during the show, though. They've been warned by CBS they won't stop drinking. He slipped up and says, "Well, you got your Coors Light there." And Conrad's like, "Nah."
No.
They got warned. Kevin Sullivan one. That's the one that scared everyone.
Well, of course. Well, once again, what did I say? Ric Flair is a liability. I mean, the Lawrence Taylor interview was great. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
I love that one. Hey, look, I listen to all the podcasts during the week, and Jericho and Austin and Ross and Taz, no doubt. Always, yes. Austin, Jericho, no matter what. But on Wednesday morning, I download that fucking Flair podcast on the way to work and listen to it. I'm ready to hear it first thing.
Yes.
Love it. I love Lawrence Taylor too.
Well, I have you to thank for Woo Nation, you know, because I really dig it. And of course the Taz and Jericho and Jay, I do listen to JR. Great stuff there. So those are definitely
Shivani. It's pretty good actually.
Which one?
JR talked to Shivani, such an interesting dynamic.
I do. And Tony Schiavone gets a lot of shit, but
shouldn't. He announced when the shit was awesome too, you know, when they had the Four Horsemen. He was around then. This guy just saw it when it was good and great all the way to when it was awful. And he was just like, "Oh God," you know, you would lose your passion too. Anybody would.
Yeah.
You know,
he was beat up. He was beat up. Yeah. You know, it's different, you know, but listening to commentators talk about the times like Mark Madden, for example, and it's difficult for me because I want to really like Mark Madden.
Yeah.
I really want to like him,
right?
But he's so over the top. He won't stop. It's like we're listening to Vince Russo.
He's very bright though. I will give him that.
Of course he's a wrestling encyclopedia. He's a certified genius. He's sports talk, drive time, radio personality. You know, and that's another thing we can talk about one of these days. You know, we have to circle back to so many of these topics we just drop on the show, whether it's our favorite podcast of all time versus our favorite wrestlers of all time versus our favorite announcers of all time. And, you know, I want to like Mark Madden, but man, oh man. You know, he just has so much of that gravitas. Maybe it's just my ego. But
It might have been the way his character was portrayed a little bit when his character was on.
It's not about that. It's not about that. Okay. It's even just him as a person.
See, human being.
Yes, it's just him as a person, because, you know, there are times that I really appreciate the fact that he's calling out, you know, what's logical, and I like that. There are times, but it's just there's only so much Mark Madden I can stomach, you know. So,
well, he's a PA guy too, so that might be the Southern versus PA war. Will never. There's such a difference.
Maybe, but I love Taz. He's from New York. He's Red Hook, man, and I love Taz. So,
yeah,
I can actually listen to Russo more than I can Mark Madden. Okay.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
We've gotten derailed here a little bit, and I apologize for that. WWE, just really quick, highlights from Raw. You saw Raw. You dug it, yes?
No, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No, I don't like Raw anymore. I haven't liked it in a month or two. I don't like it. I don't think it's a good show. I think it's boring. I think they have good matches every week, though. I think Seth Rollins is the best worker in the wrestling in the United States, not Mexico or Japan. At the same time, he's obviously not a very good draw. Okay, so that's upsetting. They're putting him on TV a lot, and I know everyone's excited about Sting. I know everybody got excited about Undertaker, Lesnar, and you know the Dudley's coming back. This is all hot-shotting, though, you know, and this is panic mode, and it hasn't worked. So I'm wondering what they're going to do, because they've run out of bullets for the ammo. You know, mm-hmm. New Day is spectacular.
Okay, you can't beat it. Not only does New Day have a brand new Table for Three special on the WWE Network, which is funny.
They're great together.
The guys are great. But once again, here they are, Memphis, Tennessee for Monday Night Raw, and there they are overpowers the primetime players in their title defense, which is really nice. Plus, the added bonus of seeing the ring entrance of the New Day and having Stephanie and Triple H both start dancing to their theme song, which I thought was gold. You never see that happen. And all of a sudden, it's like Stephanie's, you know, getting down, man. I mean, girls, you know, girl shaking her ass. And by the way, Stephanie, over the past couple of weeks, her hair has been magnificent. Her hair.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because we always, you know, this is also the podcast about hair.
Oh, certainly. I mean, look at mine. But, sorry. Stephanie and Triple H especially has had fantastic hair. If you look at his stuff from 97, 98, his hair is fantastic.
Fantastic.
I mean, it really is. I mean, he even got
great hair when he debuted in WCW as Terrorizing.
He did. You know, when he got together with Michaels and initially in late 97, the quality of both of their hair was staggering. And in a sense, that's how it got over. You know, and the Steve Austin having a shaved head was almost like reverse polarity sort of all of that, too.
You're right.
And that worked, you know, in the same way, you know.
That's right. His lack of hair. Yeah.
You know, then let me say this, and this may be controversial. I don't really like Seth Rollins' hair at all. I don't think it's very good. I think it looks very greasy. It's like, it looks like a girl's hair, like a girl that's got like some self-esteem issues kind of hair.
I tell you,
the hairstylist herself.
Speaking of hair, though, the Divas have got great hair. And speaking of Divas, Sasha Banks defeated Paige.
Great hair.
And a good match. Not bad.
What? They had a match? Yeah. No, and then Paige's hair. No, I'm just kidding. I think they're getting better with the just put the belt on Sasha Banks and let her do her thing. Like, just do it like NXT was going. It's so simple.
Well, they're not going to do that until we talk about NXT. That comes up in the next segment. Wyatt family gets interviewed by The Miz, confronts the Shield. They're supposed to be a third man. Who do you suspect the third man for this weekend's special event? Who's it going to be?
Orton. I mean, it won't be Brian. That would be ridiculous.
Because they took out Orton, you know, last week. So
they think Orton's doing something, though. He might be doing a movie.
I'm going to skip over John Cena versus Sheamus, but I will say this. The big guy, Ryback, confronts Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens takes out a copy of The Secret and throws it in Ryback's face, and Ryback says, can you read?
Rough one. Got him. The Ryback. He seems like a nice person. He's probably a little too jacked up to wrestle good. You know, he's almost like filled with helium or air pressure. You know, it's like.
Well, I like the story. I like the story of Ryback being hotshotted to the top and then falling from grace and having to claw his way back. And then you hear a guy like Kevin Owens comes in and I've been wrestling, you know, just as long as you, trying to make it. I paid my dues. And I think you suck ass. You know,
well, so. He does.
Hey, look. You know, they I'm going to shock up. The IWC right now and say I'm a Ryback fan. I don't like his merchandise. I think he could totally go away from the whole Panama City Beach, Florida gimmicks that
you know. His hair looks like shit.
I think he just needs to just look cooler. And right now, the jacked up RVD outfit that he's wearing is not good. I think his merchandise sucks. You know, I want to go in there and say, Ryan, look, I like you, man. I like your character. I like what you're about, but your merchandise sucks. Can we just change the look in the merchandise? Can we modern you up so that you don't look like you're, you know, on WCW Saturday Night circa 1996. Can we do that?
Yeah, he's got that power plant look, if anyone remembers
the WCW. Right. That's what I'm saying. He looks like he should be in there on Saturday Night facing Hugh Morris for the TV title. That's what he looks like he's
doing. Probably jobbing, yeah.
Yeah. So
Owens had bad hair, Ryback bad hair, bad feud.
Yeah. Well, I like the feud.
He might be able to get, I'm kidding, he might be able to get something out of him. I don't know. If anybody could, Christ.
Well, let's see. You know, and let's see if you know, once again, that the dance partners make a difference, you know. Owens up the game, make Ryback look good. Ryback will you know, he can sell, so maybe he'll make Owens look good. Let's see.
I haven't seen very many, and I've seen a lot. I haven't seen very many bad Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen matches. Now, he's always been in a main event position in Ring of Honor, and thus far with John Cena here in WWE. So I think he'll pull something off. It'll certainly be of quality of some sort. It won't be a bomb, a dud, so to speak.
Let me ask you this.
Please.
When you look at Lucha Dragons and Neville.
Yeah.
Versus the Ascension and Stardust, I see this being good. Do you not?
Absolutely.
They are now regulated to the Night of Champions kickoff show, which will be
great
starter. Yep. They're a great kickoff show. I like the Lucha Dragons, Neville. It makes sense. You've got the Triple High Flyers versus the Ascension, the Cosmic Wrecking Crew, as I like to call them.
Yeah.
With the Dark Matter man himself, Stardust. I think that makes sense. I think if they can get more along the line of having the same kind of ring gear, kind of like a Legion of Doom, not like the Legion of Doom, like the Super Friends Legion of Doom, not like the LOD WWE, but have them look more comic book like, I think that'd be really cool.
They messed them up from the beginning. That's a classic NXT botch example of WWE botching an NXT thing. You know, they made them look just stupid enough to fail. It didn't help when the Wolfpack came out and made fun of them to their face, which was hilarious, by the way.
That was the whole point.
That was hilarious.
When you come out and you make fun of all the tag teams, you automatically get, you know, you automatically will get shit because you made fun of Road Warriors, you made fun of, you know, the Dudleys, you made fun of all these great tag teams, and then you come out with this, you know, crazy gimmick. How are people going to take you seriously? You have to go out and pay reverence to those and say, you know what, those are all great, but I think we're going to, you know, be better. You can't make fun of them. But you can put yourself over in a different way. Well, anyway, how about this? Charlotte gets her title shot against Nikki Bella and loses because of disqualification. Nikki Bella retains her title and finally defeats the record set by AJ Lee of being the longest reigning Divas champion of all time.
Yeah. I did like the way they booked that, actually.
You did? Because I didn't.
I liked it.
Okay. This is why I don't like it.
Okay.
I would have liked it if I hadn't seen what happened to Brock and Undertaker. Now.
Okay.
If you'll notice, Brock v. Undertaker, the match too big for WrestleMania at SummerSlam. They had their big match. Okay. By their own logic, according to this match, Triple H should have came out. Vince McMahon or Stephanie should have came out and said, I saw the Undertaker tap. Then definitive winner is going to be Brock Lesnar. Because of this finish, this loses everything for me. This loses everything because they go against their own logic. Because now that you see that the other Bella went in, Charlotte pins Brie Bella instead of Nikki, then she comes out and says, well, I have to hold up the integrity. Stephanie comes out and says, I have to hold up the integrity of the Divas division in the championship match. Therefore, as a result of disqualification, the winner is Charlotte. And Stephanie says the title cannot exchange hands in this fashion, therefore, still the reigning champion is Nikki Bella. She said change hands, okay? So she, once again, by her own rules, she comes out and dictates the course of the match. Why didn't someone come out, you know, during SummerSlam then and change the course of the match in the history books then? You see what I mean? By their own logic, it doesn't make any sense. That's why I don't like it.
I understand what you're saying. I think you're a little still angry about that other match in your maybe you're putting, you know, this match under a similar logic snafu because of that logic.
I am.
You know, but I will say this. Okay, that all makes sense what you just said. Here's the flip side. Yeah. I think a dusty finish like that kind of works. You know, Ric Flair's sad puppy dog face.
Yeah.
Oh, my daughter. He's perfect for that job. And when she wins it, he'll go in the ring. He'll start crying because he's good at that too. Yeah. And, you know, she'll get it. I don't see why Sasha wouldn't be the champion. They've finally been able to humiliate AJ Lee. This is all because of a tattoo. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
You know, because she has something tattooed in her neck, they're going to get back at her. You know, that's the real reason.
She's a mark for herself.
You know, I don't know. I mean, that is markish. But, I mean, wouldn't you get – I get into what I do and –
Yeah, I do. I do too. I don't. You know what? I like AJ
Lee. That's the joke.
I like AJ Lee.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, AJ Lee could go. And could I see, you know, an AJ Lee Iron Woman match? I think she could have done it. And I would have loved to see her do it. And she just didn't get that opportunity. But
maybe.
But we'll never know.
I'm excited to see the other Iron Woman match.
We'll talk about that. You know, Cesaro, by the way, getting a huge pop against Rusev. And, of course, Sting versus Big Show ends in disqualification and then turning into a tag team match. The spirit of Teddy Long lives on as now John Cena and Sting defeat the world heavyweight and U.S. champion Seth Rollins and Big Show for the main event. Overall, you know, it was a passing grade. I will say that it, you know, Seeing the Bella match and seeing, you know, the Sting build was some highlights for me. Of course, New Day is always a highlight. But yes, Raw has seen better days. To me, I think they peaked too early setting up for Night of Champions. And this was the past few weeks has just been them treading water up until this event. And hopefully they'll pivot into more meaningful things instead of letting the angles just grow and blossom over time. They just, you know, they just set everything out and it was just like a holding pattern until the Night of Champions. So
that statue stuff didn't do me any favors. I mean,
no,
that got me nice and bored. I will say one thing only, Sting looked better than I thought he would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe it won't be a dud like I predicted last week. Maybe it'll just be boring and good, boring to good.
Yeah.
That won't be great though.
NXT really quick. You know, we still have some really cool stuff going on there. Bull Dempsey, by the way, I like his shirt, that Bull Fit t-shirt.
Yeah. They've been doing good with that little gimmick. You know,
yeah, it's not bad.
Getting him over with that crowd for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have high expectations for Bull Dempsey. Still love Tyler Breeze. Good stuff there. Yeah. You know, Ty Dillinger still comes out with a perfect 10, doing great. Apollo Crews looking good. Baron Corbin and Rhino defeats Johnny Gargano and Tommy Tommaso Ciampa. Did I say that right? For the Dusty Rhodes quarterfinals, which is nice. But I will say this, the highlight for me, Bayley versus Sarah Dobson. Bayley for me is great. I have an emotional connection to that superstar when Sasha Banks came out at the very end while she was celebrating and William Regal came out. I had chills in the back of my neck because I knew William Regal, when he comes out, he means something. And there they set up the Iron Woman match, 30-minute match where Sasha says that she wants to beat Bayley again, 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 and again. It wasn't a fluke. And Bayley says, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong. Great storytelling there. And Regal for me, just the icing on the cake, because Regal's great. So,
and what if you just took that and put it on the Monday show?
Yeah. Well, for the first time, the Divas will be the main event for an NXT takeover that's happening here in just a few days.
So. Oh, they've been the main event already, though, in their own way, though. You know, that's why they have to do it now for real. When they showed them up, even though they had a ladder. Last time, you know, it was like, you better just put them on last because you're going to get upstaged every time.
I dig it, you know, and
because they upstaged them when Samoa Joe, the one with the Samoa Joe debut, when was that, around June or something? Mm-hmm. They upstaged them that time with the match, Charlotte match. And
yeah, you're right.
Killed it.
Yeah. Once again, great stuff there. So any other things before we kind of wrap up and talk about our picks there for Night of Championins?
No, just heard. I just saw that Scott Hall's just got downloaded on my phone, a Scott Hall Stone Cold podcast.
Okay, so that's going to that be sounds one, fun. It's going to be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. And Bischoff was on Woo Nation. He was really good. They talked very candidly.
Yeah, they do. And I'm surprised that they've kind of put all that heat behind them. All that.
Unbelievable. You know, that's two pretty extraordinary humans. You know, they've done a lot of good and a lot of bad in their lives, but they're very interesting people.
I agree.
Should be friends.
I agree. Let's talk about our picks here for Night of Champions happening this Sunday, presented by Create a Wrestler from Mattel. You see, I can do the job. I can do that. Kevin Owens versus Ryback for the IC title. Who comes out on top?
Oh, God. They'll have Ryback beat him, which will annoy me, and he'll pull out the best Owens will pull out the best Ryback match we've seen since when you maybe better than the CM Punk match. I don't even remember that match anymore. I just remember destroyed Ryback. He'll probably have the best Ryback match ever, and Ryback will go over, and I will be sad. However, Owens would be a great IC champion. You know, that would be smart money to do that. He's done enough fucking jobs now. He gets one win, and now I got to pay for it for the rest of my life.
Well, I think this may be a situation where we do a best of three. You know, I think having those type of things set up over a long period is good. This is going to be the first match between the two, really, and I think it's going to be good. If Owens wins this one, Ryback gets the rubber match, and then there's going to be the last match. So, you know,
Ryback gets pops at house shows. You know,
he does. People still dig it, man. You know, people still like it, and I think, you know, even though it's a little forced. How he does Feed Me More. It's a little forced, trying to squeeze it into his promos and things.
I know.
I think it's still working for him. So ride that wave, Mr. Ryback. Go for it. How about this? New Day is champions versus the Dudley Boys returning. Get the tables. I believe we'll see him.
Dudleys have a short shelf life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which almost scares me into thinking they could get the title for a little bitty run.
Yeah.
That would be a disastrous idea. I figured that they hired these guys to help train people at NXT and to put over the New Day and put over primetime players. And they had to get little fluky wins over each of them to set that all up. Let's hope that's what it is.
Well, this is what is
spectacular.
I agree. But let me tell you what I believe they're going to set up.
Ugh.
I believe they have the Dudley Boys back for WrestleMania pop because they're going to want everyone to do a table, ladders, and chairs match for the tag team belts at WrestleMania.
Well, see, you got Woods and Kingston can do it.
You're going to have everybody in there. If the Hardy Boys come back, it's going to be like old school versus new school, you know? So think about it. And that could be the Hardys' last match that they ever do, you know?
Wow.
So how I see this is, once again, setting up a feud for the tag team titles. Quite possibly 3D might get one over on New Day, teaching them, hey, look, you guys are just way too smug. New Day, you know, gets the rubber match, setting up for a return of another tag team come February. And then all of a sudden, here we are at WrestleMania. We've got the Hardys. We got the Dudleys versus New Day versus
Primetime, maybe?
Primetime players.
Four-way with ladders and tables and chairs.
Tables, ladders, and chairs, man. And then you might have an X-Factor, you know, something like a Lucha Dragons or something in there that'll help do the high spots. You know what I mean?
Boy, they'd get a big pop coming back, I tell you that.
That's how you try to sell out that stadium.
Yeah,
is you give them something that they've wanted, and this might be the way to do it. And then after that, the Hardys do their I'm out, and then you'll see them in the Hall of Fame along with the Dudley Boys, you know, down the road over the next couple years.
You can see Jeff getting a run. You can see Jeff getting a run.
I don't.
I do. They've always liked him. They got that little crush on him like they did with Michaels. Not as heavy, but they got that crush on him.
I do, but once again, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it in the schedule that they are going to demand from him to be the champion.
He is resting and recuperating in the imagination.
Okay.
He'll be ready to go.
I agree. Because Jeff Hardy, let me tell you, talk about merchandise sales. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's one guy they were worried about when he went to TNA 5 years ago. They're like, uh-oh, he's a huge babyface. He might actually move the meter and give us a – no, didn't happen.
The problem is they had way too many issues with booking, and not only that, but his health. I mean, he's been in and out. He had legal problems. All that shit happened while he was there early on when they signed him, going to jail and all that other bullshit. So,
oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah. So he was snake bit from the very beginning. So
hey, Dixie will give you a chance if you're in and out of jail. She's there you cool.
Go. Yeah, just ask Kurt Angle.
He's street people, bro.
I'm an ass. Wyatt's with the versus the Shield, two-thirds of the Shield.
Ugh, who's going to this shit? That Braun Strowman or whatever. I hate him. He's terrible.
Oh, no.
Garbage. He looks good, though. I like his little goofy look.
Yeah, well.
You in the headlights, Wyatt.
Who's going to be the third man? You say it's Randy Orton?
Randy Couture. Randy Orton, not Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Can't think of anybody else. Oh, maybe. No.
Go ahead.
Someone you're a mark for maybe could come back.
That's right. Could be Chris Jericho.
Yep.
You don't know. You never know. It could happen. Once again, Chris Jericho. They want to do something meaningful. They better start teasing the comeback before WrestleMania. Work up to a really good angle. So
Jericho needs to be on Mania. I mean, it's ridiculous to just do house shows. He gets some of the biggest pops on the house shows. Well, I know they're in Canada a lot, but geez Louise.
Well, he might make a comeback during the Brock Lesnar special here in October. So you never know.
He needs
Madison Square Garden.
I'm excited to see that.
Flair for the gold. Can you imagine? This is the headline. Flair for the Divas gold. I love
Charlotte it. Versus Harley Race.
Charlotte versus Harley Race. Flair for the gold. Nikki Bella versus Charlotte. Charlotte, I believe, is going to go over on this one. What do you think?
I'd like to see Charlotte go over and have Ric Flair come out in Night of Champions, and she's the champion, and AJ Lee's still humiliated, and the Bellas got what they wanted politically, beat by Cena and Bryan, and all of this crap, and the Total Divas show, and everybody's happy, and then Charlotte can feud with Sasha Banks, and then Sasha Banks is the heel champion forever, and then life is good.
Two more matches left to speak of. You've got
two more.
Yeah, you've got the U.S. title defense with Seth Rollins versus John Cena. I think,
let me tell you how it works in this world. Okay,
go for it.
What happens in this world is this: if you do something to somebody, it comes back to you. Some people call it karma. Okay, if you don't pay your taxes, the IRS gets angry.
Do tell.
You know, I mean, If you do something to somebody, they seek revenge and bring it back onto you. And it goes like a cycle. It's a yin and yang in life. And if you beat John Cena in a main event and win his belt, then you are going to lose to him and give the belt back to him. And that's always going to happen. That train is never late. So he will be jobbing. Clean, mind you.
Okay.
With a C. No John Stewart to save him.
That's right. I believe that as well.
And it'll probably go in last.
I don't know about that. Okay. I believe the last match will be Sting versus Seth Rollins.
Okay.
And I believe Sting might actually go over, and Sheamus will cash in the Money in the Bank and defeat Sting for the heavyweight championship.
I am so afraid that you're right, but I swear to you,
I smell it.
Everything I'm seeing makes me believe that will happen.
Yes,
Sting will finally win the title. Sheamus will be their champion because you see, it's Rollins' fault. All of these ratings, they have to blame people. They definitely blamed Owens. You remember when they blamed Owens and he started jobbing?
Yes.
Now it's Rollins' fault. Rollins has to turn face to feud with Triple H over the Authority, blah 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 thing. Supposedly for Royal Rumble. They could get it started now. They could have a slow burn, and then he turns face by, let's say, Survivor Series. Then he can have Rollins against Sheamus, which I'm sure he could pull a great match out of him.
Well, Survivor Series, I believe that scenario, because what's going to happen is Rollins is going to turn on the Authority's team, and he's going to go face.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, knowing the authority, they'll turn on him, like double down on being heels because they love to get their heat first. And that's something we've had to deal with all of our lives with this company. Not all of our lives, since about 2000. Since 1977, when Triple H started to hold on to that world title.
By the way, since you mentioned Triple H, I'll say this is that Jake the Snake on that podcast had mentioned the fact that you're chicken shit because you pull out a sledgehammer and you lose all credibility. And Stone Cold, all he did was just laugh. And you know what? I agree. I totally agree.
I always thought that gimmick was so stupid. If you hit someone with a sledgehammer, they're going to die.
Right. But here's the thing. I believe that's what Triple H wanted all the time, is that that's Triple H's way of being a Ric Flair. He can't defeat a foe on his own, so he's going to take matters into his own hands, pull out the sledgehammer, and try to defeat the foe, because he himself can't do it alone. He has to, if he can't have and surround himself with the people to back him up to help maintain the hold on the championship or the company. You know, just like that Triple H video. Did I show you that video on Triple H about how this person did this video about how the reason why Triple H is one of the best well-developed characters in all of wrestling history, and it started all the way back when he started, and about how his life and his character really make sense. And he's right. I believe he's a chicken shit heel. He looks like a badass, but he's not.
He's not a badass in real life, and that's why nobody's ever bought him truly. He had a great, great year as champion in the year 2000. I just wanted to say that.
Well, WrestleMania 2000 was like his coming out party.
That whole year, he was spectacular. Mm-hmm. It took him a while to get over as a heel the year before. He won the belt around September or something like that, October, November, Survivor Series, or right after 1999, got Stephanie, and he was an incredibly great worker. He was a great heel champion, and Stephanie was a great valet, whole or whatever, partner for him. After that, and his knee got hurt, and his quad, and all this stuff, and he came back, and he became a babyface, and he turned him back heel with Austin. It's just not been – he's not a great wrestler, and I'm so sorry. And he certainly will never be a Ric Flair because, you know – people don't understand what the NWA was. They go, oh, NWA, that's like WCW. No, it's not. No, WCW is like 1/30th of what the NWA really was, the broad scope of it. You know, you got Oregon, Texas, California, all the, you know, the Crockett's ran in North Carolina. That's what WCW was. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And he happened to be with him, but he was the broad stroke, huge, massive champion, just like Harley Race, Jack Briscoe, Dory Funk. I could do the, you know. For Triple H to even imagine that he could hold that kind of power or control, not just as a champion, but with the crowd, he just can't do it. Mm. And he's ruined this company in so many ways, and we forget sometimes. And I applaud him for NXT, because it is honestly the greatest thing he's ever been a part of. But the way he books himself over and over again, you know, watching that Booker, the worst thing about that Booker T match we talked about from the WrestleMania with the racist stuff, mm-hmm. and I watched that stuff back, it is racist because he says, people like you. Well, what the hell are we supposed to think he's talking about? Mm-hmm. He waits 20 or 25 seconds to pin him after a pedigree, and that's what killed Booker T. And that's something that he understands and can throw in there in the last second, get approved, and kill someone's character. Or he can just wait 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. But he did all these things, and to leave it in his hands is totally cool, because to be honest, I don't want to see him as an on-screen character, you know, because he feuding with Rollins, well, he's going to go over Rollins. I got bad news for everybody. And then he's going to face The Rock, and then he'll freaking job. But it doesn't matter. So what has he done? He kills, squashes Sting and squashes Rollins? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. He's not an active wrestler.
Yep.
He's still in good shape, but whatever.
Yeah, well, at least he got down with New Day this past Monday. Highlight of the night for me.
Steph, yeah, definitely.
Triple H jamming a New Day.
But Aljon, even that, real quick, even that is what I'm talking about. He is supposed to be a vicious heel. Mm-hmm. Why is he dancing? Obviously, we like that. Obviously, it's great. Obviously, he understands what's cool about New Day like you and I do. So he should be a babyface owner then. You see what I mean?
He should. He's
playing it both ways.
And he should, especially when he comes out and he does intros for NXT. And
that too.
I'm over the whole heel authority thing. I just am. I just don't like it. I'm tired of it. Give it a break for once, please. But they can't because they have the whole Ronda Rousey thing and Rock thing. They're going to be leaving up to WrestleMania. So it's tiring. It's tiring.
Who is it that Triple H works out with? I can't remember who it was.
I don't know.
Sheamus. That's who it was.
Well, that's why Sheamus is going to get the title.
That's why he got the title 6 years ago.
That's right.
When at first it was like, him?
And by all means, it's not that it's not well-deserved, okay? But I'm looking for more character here when it comes to Sheamus. And to be honest, I think they're missing the boat too with Randy Orton. I'll say it once, I'll say it twice, I'll say it a million times. Randy Orton is a gold mine just waiting to happen. And you've every opportunity for every meme and everything when he was hot on his return, you've misbooked him. You've treated him wrong ever since. It just, you can't have a man with that much going for him, you know, especially with the internet, simply become an understudy to John Cena or Seth Rollins. You can't. You have to take advantage to them and let the chips fall where they may. You know what? If you're booking, that's just them being afraid of veering away from their course that they're trying to set. You know, people get hurt, things get derailed, and that's where other talent steps up to the plate. You can't simply play sheepish and have sheepish moves and continue to book on that and say, well, we've got Sheamus and Randy Orton here on the side. And, you know, just in case something were to happen, we have a backup ready to go. That's some bullshit. It really is.
Right.
Someone else has to be able to elevate and step up to the plate. In the meantime, you're missing out on what is an explosive, awesome character who can wrestle and could really help put over the guys that need to be put over, like, you know, the Samoa Joes and the Kevin Owens and, you know, those type of people, and really solidify themselves as the number two baby face character of the company.
Right.
Because you don't really have that. It's, you know, there was another podcast, I think, that was talking about the top baby faces in WWE, and Randy Orton's name wasn't even put up there. You know, it's a distant second to Dolph Ziggler. I'm like, bullshit. Randy Orton should be right there behind John Cena in terms of babyface and Sting. But he's not booked that way. Why?
I don't know.
They're missing the boat.
He's had a lot of, in their slight defense, he's had a lot of strikes.
Doesn't matter.
Well, it matters a little bit.
Oh, it does. If we want to play ball, but it shouldn't.
Do you know what I mean by strikes? I meant strikes against wellness policies.
Oh, I understand. I understand that.
They waived a couple of them apparently recently.
Being
good.
They what?
They took away some of his strikes for being good.
Oh, well, he's had several years without incident. So, you know, they're slowly erasing him back. Well,
that's how that works. Okay.
Anyway, let's wrap things up. I think Night of Champions. I think Night of Champions will be a good show. I'm curious to see what kind of swerves are going to be in there. Will Dusty finishes come out again as he did for this Monday Night Raw? Only time will tell. We're only a few days until Night of Champions, exclusively on the WWE Network, which, by the way, you can pick up for free right now if you log on to ProWrestlingCast.com. Any final words before we get into our promo of the week?
I hope they put on a good show, man, because they've really been letting me down. You know, I just hope they put on a good show because wrestling's having a tough couple of weeks here. Wrestling in general.
Yeah. Been marred in controversy.
Constantly.
Constantly. And we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens for that. So let's move in to our promo of the week. Mr. Stephen Anthony, we've got something here from the likes of a wrestling legend. Who do we have here?
This is WrestleMania 6. This is Jake as a babyface, actually, which is interesting. But, you know, he's a great heel. He's a great babyface. He's a great promo. A little bit was on the incredible wrestling documentary Beyond the Mat, which I recommend people pick up. It's probably the best one I've seen. And it had a theater release, which is amazing. And Jake was in it, and this promo was in it. And I remember when I first saw it, I thought, geez, Louise, this guy's something else. And he really is one of the smartest minds in the history of the business. It's sad that drugs derailed him. But you know what? He will always have the psychology. And you can listen to that Steve Austin podcast. And he can tell you right now so many little things when you listen to it, not tell you, but you can hear so many little things that he does and knows about that makes wrestling cool. And what a lot of these guys are doing wrong now, honestly. So
yeah. Less is more.
Less is more, and insight, just to be within the moment and be the character seems to be his thing, you know. And absolutely, that's scary in what happened to him, because he kind of became Jake the Snake, more or less. But
if, but you know what, they should have him teach a master class at NXT, you know, now that he's cleaned up a little bit, you know what I mean?
Strike five. I mean, yeah. I think they would give him a shot, maybe, but man, he's...
Well, like I said, a masterclass. He doesn't have to be there full time. He just needs to be there to pass on what he knows. And it's not politically correct at all. Trust me.
Not politically correct. He said, fuck you, Vince, at the end of the podcast, by the way.
I think that's great.
Then he quickly told Austin, can you take that out? Which was funny, too. All right, so here's the promo. Jake the Snake getting deep, and probably one of his absolute best, which is saying a lot for Jake.
Okay, here it is. The promo of the week, Mr. Jake the Snake.
Promo of the week.
$1 million man, Ted DiBiase. Here we are at WrestleMania. And it's the biggest match of your career. Why? Because everything you stand for is on the line. Namely, the $1 million belt. Oh, yeah. It can be yours once again. You see, all you have to do to get it back is go through Damian and me. But you see, Damian and I don't forget. We remember all the times you made people grovel for your money. These were people far less fortunate than you. People who could use your money for essentials. And what did you do? You made fun of them. You humbled them, and you humiliated them. Well, now it's my turn. I'm going to make you beg, DiBiase. You are going to get down on your hands and knees. This time, you'll be the one that's humbled. This time, you'll be the one that's humiliated. And this time, you will be the one that grovels for the money. And how appropriate. That the money you grovel for is your very own. A victim of your own greed, wallowing in the muck of avarice.
And on that note,
Longfellow couldn't have said it better.
Thank you,
Mean. Even Gene was like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Gene, the day of reckoning has come, and his name is Jake the Snake Roberts, our promo of the week. I love it. Thank you, Stephen, for that tidbit. Once again, don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube page, as we broadcast this about every week. They're on YouTube, live and uncensored wrestling news and commentary. Also, subscribe to our iTunes feed, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn. So many ways for you to listen and get your dose of pro wrestling news and commentary from Stephen Anthony and myself. On that note, thank you so much. We will catch you for Night of Champions. Follow us there on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast and Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast. And hopefully we'll see how good you do on your picks for Night of Champions. Steven, any other closing words?
No Sheamus, no.
Nick Bonkwinkle, not in this episode. And we will see you all next time. Please don't forget to tuck your head and have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.